Okay, so let's start with Nun Ches. I didn't even prepare Nun Ches because I really wanted to go through pretty fast, but then we'll see. You never know. And then Nun Tes is going to be the all of two lines is going to be the big boy. But let's read Nun Ches first. It says Rabbi Nachman, or Rabbi Nassim, the name of Rabbi Nachman. Kishachoshvin Torah tzarech lios choshev hadivar Torah sherotz lechadesh balachshov v'lachzor b'machshav to oso apasuk oso inyan. When a person wants to think in Torah and he wants to come up with chidushim, says Rabbi Nachman, you have to think in your mind about that pasuk or that inyan that you're learning many, many times, again and again. Stay on that one pasuk, stay on that one inyan, and chazer again. Again, read it, think about it. Don't move so fast. And like keep knocking on that door, banging on that door. Again, the same pasuk, the same inyan, until something opens up. Chidushei Torah is something that I think it's very, very important for a person's enjoyment and learning. And there are some people like, I can't make a chidush. What do you mean? Like, what am I, like the Brisker Rav? I'm like Chidushei Levi. I can't make a chidush. And it's not true. It's not true. Even a question, any question you have on any pasuk, you read a Rashi, you have a question, that already is a part of a chiddush. It doesn't have to be the answer necessarily, but even breaking one layer, like what is he really saying? Even that, if you really have that question, what's he really saying here? Like, it doesn't really make 100% sense. I don't understand. That's already, you're getting into it, and it's tremendously important to get into the sefer instead of just reading more and more words and more, you know, things are going into your ears and your head. You want to get into it. Says Rabbi Nachman, if you want to get into it, don't rush. Take some time. Whatever you enjoy most, whether it's Chumash, whether it's Mishnayos, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Chassidus, whether it's, you know, Kabbalah, if that's your forte, sit on something and let it settle down. Let your mind settle into it. Says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes there's things that float into a person's head. They sprout in his head. Porech can be a few different things. It can be flying, floating, sprouting. It pops up into your head, b'machshava kemo zricha, like it was just like thrown in there. The person is thinking and learning. Again, not just going to a shir and listening to somebody, like right now, or a daf yomi shir, or whatever shir it is, because there, you're almost at helm. You know what I'm saying?
Whim.
You're at the whim of the mashbia who's saying it over. You're taking in what he's saying. You're not necessarily using your own brain, although of course people do ask questions. But you're asking a question on what he said. Rather, your person also needs to take time to just on his own be thinking about his learning. Whatever it is, pick one thing a day that you learn, and pick one time during that day to think about it. Just think about it. And it could be when you're learning it. Just relax. You're listening to a Daf Yomi Shir, beautiful. But you can't really get into that so much because you're just trying to like download. I'm telling you, Eitza Tova to enjoy learning even more is to just, whether you know people learn the Chayenus now, so there's so much to, you know, just sit on one part of the Chayenu. Sit on one Pasuk in Tehillim. One of the Pasukim and one of the Prokim. And just think about that Pasuk. Things might just pop into your head. Oh, that reminds me of a different thing. That reminds me of this. What's that? You have a question. You have an answer. You're now in it. And it's a different limit. So sometimes there are things that are just sprouting in your head. They just pop in. And then they just float away. Just as they floated in, they float away. Because often it's you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. Kadosh Baruch Hu just threw it into your head in order to almost arouse you to think. So he puts it in. And it takes that, and then you're like, "Whoa, what was it I was thinking about? What was that? What was that chiddush I had?" But tzar shi elazib berye v'ishchal. You need to be a warrior, lirdo v'lirav tzachre la'siga, to run after that thought that came into your head to try to remember what was it and to get it back.
Warrior.
That's what he says. Ishchal. Interesting. Ishchal. Also, just I'll tell you a little bit of a remez. If you put the yud and the lamed together, you get a mem. Mem ches is moach. In ish moach, meaning a person of thought. person who's thinking. You have to be a person who's thinking to run after that thought to get it back.
How is Yud and Lamed a mem?
Because Yud is 10 and Lamed is 30. So 40 is a mem. And Gematria is 40 is a mem. Okay? You could even say that Beria, I'm just thinking about it right now, it's 217, so that's Gevura with the Kol. Gevura is 216. So you have to be a Gibor and an Ishchayel, an Ishmach, to go get it back. Okay. It's Kedai. Eitz Tova. Go and think about something and learning. It'll make you feel good. Okay. Now, Sicha Nuntes, I've seen this Sicha before. I'm going to read it straight. We don't have Rabbi Nachman here with us. If we did, we'd ask him a lot of questions. But we don't. So we're going to read this. It's going to sound funny. And then we're going to try our best to understand. It says Rabbi Nachman, Mesugul Yosef Abonim. It is the most advisable with children. Bonim, it probably means children, not just boys. What is advisable? Leos Rochuk Mehem, that one should stay distant from them. You're too close. He's like, I'm out of here. Livli Leos Dalak Behem, you shouldn't become Dalak to them. Lishashea Behem Bechalpam, to play with them, delight with them all the time. Don't be so dovek to them. Rak livli l'stakalim klal. Really? Don't even look at them at all. That's it.
I can give this to my wife.
He says, Mesugul Yosel Abonim. This is the way. To
with your own children.
Yeah. It's l'chaira. Sometimes this is how you're supposed to educate the mechanachin child. What's he talking about over here? How do we understand this? It sounds like the complete opposite of everything you've probably been taught. Everything that Rebbe teaches us. Everything, you know, the mechanach nowadays. No. You know, befriend the child, love him, connect with him, be dovuk to him, play with him, play ball with him. You know, completely the opposite of everything in this Rabbi Nachman. So, one way to understand this, and I asked two different people, big people, just curious what they thought about this, the Sicha. One of them said, he wasn't really giving an answer, but he said, you know, in Chinuch, you have to go with the times. He says, it could be the times changed. It could be that when Rabbi Nachman was around, it was more appropriate to act in this way. But maybe nowadays it's not like that. Okay, we didn't get into a full conversation. It was more like a voice note. So, okay. I hear him. I don't think that's what Rabbi Nachman... I think that we can learn Rabbi Nachman in a way that is very current if we understand it properly.
Hold on. Paper.
Oh. So just to start, this is what came to my mind. Just three points from chinuch that we have in the Torah. Just three points. This is a chinuch sicha. We're not going to get into a full, a full shiur about chinuch. And some people have kids that are older than me, probably, so they know more than I probably know. But we'll try in our understanding. So number one, we know that the Torah gives a big shvach. Kodesh Baruch gives a big shvach to Avraham Avinu, specifically in the union of Chinuch Abanim. That Avraham Avinu guided his children to serve Hashem, to follow after him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love Avraham Avinu because of that. Specifically because of the union of Chinuch, raising his children to serve Hashem. Two, we taught, and we just had this mitzvah, that you have to tell over to your children, Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're commanded, Lahagid, even if they don't ask, tell them, right? And three, there's a mitzvah, Kibud Avayim, right? This is the mitzvah of the children, Kibud Avayim, to honor, to revere, right? Love and honor his parents. Now, just to start off, I heard, I don't know, I said this at some point, maybe I think I said this on a Thursday in Echabura. I heard once, you ever hear this story by Shimon Russell?
Oh, yeah.
Extreme parenting, he has like this
chinuch.
Yeah. I think I said this on a Thursday night. So he was on like one of these meaningful something podcasts, whatever.
Meaningful people.
And I was listening, I was fascinated. You know, I'm into chinuch and I was listening. And he made such an amazing comment. And he said, when it comes to Kibud Av V'Aim, right, children must honor their parents. It's one of the top 10. Yeah? Shem says it's top 10. He says, a parent is not supposed to demand. He's listening, you know. A parent is not supposed to demand kibud avim. He says a parent should be acting in a way that the child wants to honor them. That's a huge yesod.
So, you have to learn how to do that.
Of course.
But I'm saying, that's not. Why is that surprising? That's not like.
I mean, I think many people think that it's the parent's obligation to have the child honor them, and that's not.
It's
meaning,
the parent's obligation for the kid to want to honor them, like you said, like what?
Right. What? I don't think that's how most people think. I think the parents say, "You need to honor me," and they don't. Some parents actually say it like that, like, "You can't speak to me like that. You have to honor me." It's not supposed to be coming from the parent. It's almost from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the kid. And the parents have to act in a way where the kids, right? You can't, you know, you have a parent who's a horrible parent. He's not acting in a way that the kid's going to want to honor him. And therefore, a little bit's on the parent. I think it comes out that really the mitzvah kibud avim is not just on the kids, it's on the parents. That there might actually be, okay, it's a little bit of a chiddush, and it's based on what he's saying, that the parents are obligated to act in an appropriate way in order that encourages the child to honor and revere him. Now, if the child chooses not to, and the parent acts in a proper way, so the parent is, he's exempt, or he's mekayim his mitzvah, and it's on the child, and then the Kaddish Baruch Hu deals with the child. But the parent has to do what he has to do. And it's not so simple. Okay, everything we're going to say tonight is only klolim. How to implement takes a lot more time and effort, focus. Each kid is different. Each parent is different.
Workshops.
But we have to have the proper yesodos. So I asked Yosef's friend, Yosef Gerzi, I wanted to hear. I was curious. He's in Beit Shemesh. He's a rav over there. And what shul is it called? You don't know what it is. Okay, something with a P.
Pinsk.
No, he's the, like, something rough. I don't remember. And I was curious to hear what he had to say. And what he left me a nice voice note was very much in line with what I was thinking. But he says it in such a nice way. So I'm going to say some of the lines that he said straight, and I'm going to add in my own. But he gives over really very nicely so this. So he said... You have to understand what's the primary job of a parent? What's the primary job? So he said three things. He said the primary job of a parent is to bring up a human being, a child, to be self-sufficient, healthy, and to be a giver. That's what he said. To be self-sufficient, healthy, and to be a giver. Right? Now this is what I'm gonna he didn't say all these things, so I don't want him to get in trouble if I'm wrong with what I'm saying. So just take it with a grain of salt. So for this, to be able to properly do that, there's many things that a parent needs to...
Pilsner.
And he's a special person. He has a very wide range of yedius and many aspects of...
Beit Shemesh?
Yeah. Or wherever. Ramah Shemesh. Anyway, for the parents, the parents need to provide love, guidance, and probably hardest of all, what's really part of guidance, but to help a child find himself, dahinu his strengths and his weaknesses, and to find his path in life. Right, to become self-sufficient, the child, to some degree, needs to be able to taught what his who he is, strengths and weaknesses. Now, too much. Love and guidance, right? If you're on top of the child with love, but you're every second you want to try to be with them, try to connect with them, you should do it like this, you should do it like this. I know, I've done this before, and again and again and again. So what's that going to do? That's going to restrict their growth to become self-sufficient. You're just you continually giving and giving and giving. You're not letting them think for themselves. You're not letting them fall. It's unfortunate a parent has to watch, but sometimes a kid has to bruise himself and then that's how he learned. You learn the hard way. That's how I was taught. Sometimes you learn the hard way. And it could be more often than not. It's important. That's how the person learns. So too much love and guidance can restrict their growth to become self-sufficient. And it will hinder their ability to find themselves. Because the parents are basically telling them who they are. And therefore, they become a weak kli. You're a weak vessel, right? Too much ahava makes someone spoiled. too much. Right? That's what's going on a little bit nowadays. Right? The whole world changed from Gvura to Ahava. But we're very extreme. The balance is always hard. To be in the middle, the golden path, the Shvil HaZav, like the Rambam says, is always the most difficult. That's what takes real das, that takes real avodah, that's constant tinkering and tampering. Like, it's very easy for someone to be a big machmer, and you can even have someone who's just a super makel, he's makel on everything. To go to the extremes is easy, but to each case and each person to judge this halacha and understand, that's much harder. So to go for all gvura, we threw that out. But now we're like all ahava. It's like so much. Give them whatever they want. Love them. We don't want them to go off in different ways, in different places. And we're nervous. But that creates a weakness.
Wimpy Jews.
Wimpy, droopy
Jews.
It creates droopy Jews. Because if they don't get exactly... Wimpy and droopy. Wimpy and droopy. WD. The real WD-40. Wimpy and droopy. Because they're not getting... They're not building muscles. You build muscles when things are tense. When there's... What's that word? The Bowflex. What's that word? Resistance. Thank you. Bowflex. That's what... I always go back to that. Like 30 years ago. My friend got it. It's a whole weird thing. 30 years ago.
Is he still paying it back?
$19.99 a month?
Forever.
For 800 months. Yeah, remember those? Anyway. Now, on the other hand... Parenting is not about, and this was Rav Gerzi's lashon, owning the child and forcing, he didn't say this, but forcing a path on them. He says many, many parents fall prey to their agendas. Right? They have an agenda with the child. Like, I know what's best for him. So with a strong arm, with like a gvura, they try to stamp the child. It gets very difficult. Again, we're doing, speaking of kolam here, it gets very difficult when, you know, we're talking about, okay, I'm not gonna force him to become like a history major, but he has to be a frum Jew, and he has to daven, and he has to learn, because that's religious, that's what God wants. So, that becomes a difficult point. How do you impress upon the child and push him to do things he doesn't want to do when it's part of religion? And we understand, everybody, and he has children, knows this. But Akoponim, too much pressure, too much forcing, is not going to be good. Rather, we have to look at it as we're guardians of the child. So if everybody is between, it's ultimately between them and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A parent gives a child, a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives this child to watch and to raise as a partner with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? We're Kaddish Baruch Hu's messengers, just like our parents were his messengers for us, and we're messengers for the next generation. So we can't be too forceful, right? We can't be totally loving and with too much guidance, being with them all the time, walking with them to school, right? Every single way. Yeah, it reminds me of that maisa with Michael Levy. Ron Gerwitz tells over this maisa. You know this maisa? Michael Levy, he's blind. He's in shul. Ron Gerwitz always tells over this maisa. It's only good when he says it over, so I'm sorry, I apologize in advance for ruining the maisa. Michael Levy's blind. I think he's blind from birth. And every day, his mother would walk him to school.
Oh, I remember.
Obviously, he's blind. And it was getting to a point where he said, you know, Mom, it's like embarrassing. Like, he could still, you know, I could walk myself to school. I memorized the steps. I know exactly what I'm doing. I could do it. She's like, no. And for days and weeks, he's fighting. Finally, says, okay, fine. I'll let you go by yourself. Fine. And he's so excited. It's the first time that he's finally going to go by himself. And he has this stick. And he's got the numbers down. She's be safe. He's fine. And he goes and he's tapping and the whole way he gets there and he's so excited because he's getting closer to school and he's right by the gates and the security guard says, good morning, Michael, how are you doing? And good morning, Mrs. Levy, who is trailing right behind him. And he goes, Mom! Right? So she let him go on his own, but still held on a little bit because you have to keep the kids safe, which is really what we're going to get to at the end. So, just another nekuda, just to mention, is that Rav Gerzi made this comment. He says that part of discipline, he said a good lashon. He said part of discipline is to be able to punish a child if need be, in a controlled environment, rather than the kid later getting in trouble in an uncontrolled environment. Again, this one's not to squash the kid, but it's to impose upon them certain rules and regulations. So it comes out that too much friendship, right? Is a parent supposed to be a friend of a child? See, if you go nowadays to classes, I don't know. I don't go to any of these classes. I don't really read these books. But I can imagine, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm totally off, that nowadays could be that the mahalach is, no, you should be a friend to your child. What does that even mean? Says the only kid in the room.
I'm very confused.
Right? Is that a lesson people have heard before?
Yeah, it's a very important one in a child rearing. You're not a friend to your child. You can be friendly.
Oh, right.
But
that's the thing.
You cannot be a friend.
Correct.
If you want to play, I told my kid, you want a friend? Go over to the next yard. I'm your father.
So you're Mekayim. You're Mekayim.
It's a very important in raising children. A lot of fathers think they have to be friends. In other words, no, I don't have to play basketball with you. I'm not a schwatzer.
Once in a while, though.
Okay. No, I'm serious. In other words, it's very nice. Don't feel bad. Oh, my friend, his father plays ball with him. Well, you tell him that I'm glad he has the time to play ball. Meanwhile, I'm trying to feed your mouth and your mother's mouth, and you'll understand. I'm serious. It's a very big.
So we're
going to be friendly.
Good. That's a good lesson. We're going to get back to that. We're going
to
get back to
that. My house.
What?
Can I bring you to my house tomorrow?
Yeah, no, very easy.
He's an educational consultant.
Rick's
house calls.
It'd be great.
Not in the second part is smack them. They understand that. I'm serious. You don't understand? I'll smack you. You'll understand. I'm serious. This upbringing.
Watch. Be careful.
This upbringing on this generation of young people and raising children is totally. Like, I don't know what they think they're going to change. It's like rearing, when you have a dog, the dog doesn't understand. You smack the dog, he understands the second time. It's a very, it may sound crude. Or
it's not, it's true.
Well, there's a way to do
debate,
that.
You're going to debate a 9-year-old kid? I just told you, go upstairs, get ready for bed, and I'll expect you to read a chapter in that book. I'll speak to you in the morning. Finish.
Time.
I mean, but they're afraid to do that. I offended his sensibilities.
There is this. We have to carefully bring back some gvura. We're going to get to that. So too much friendship and freedom, too much ahava can create a sense of hefkeris and weak, wimpy Caleb. Too many agendas and rules can crush and smother the kid. Now, everything we were saying until now really is the way that a parent is acting, behaving, relating to his, not relating, the way he's behaving with the child, how he's dealing with him. But in terms of ahava, love for the child, love as an emotion we'll say is which is in the heart and even in the head, that there has to be unconditional love. That there's no question about. That's not what we're discussing here with like too much ahava, meaning too much acting in a way of ahava, giving the kid too much. That's where we're trying to pull back. But to love the kid in your heart unconditionally, of course you have to. Right? That doesn't mean you give them whatever they want, because that's not healthy. That doesn't raise self-sufficient children. Right? But of course, it has to be with pure unconditional love, and at the same time, with that unconditional love, we have to train and educate them. So therefore, a parent needs unconditional love, that is sort of Gerzi's language, with conditions on their behaviors. Right? The love is unconditional, but the behavior has to be conditional, meaning the behavior of the child never changes the unconditional love of the parent, but the behaviors might need to be altered. And that's where gevura comes in, and one needs to deal with them appropriately. Again, we're speaking klolim here. How to implement this is difficult. So parent is a parent, not a friend. Friendly, but a parent is a parent. It's kibud av v'aim. So the parent has to love the child more than anybody and tailor-make chinuch for this child. And in that way, he fulfills his obligation of being the parent that a Kodesh Baruch was saying to the kid, you should honor them. Right? So let's get back to the Sicha. So if you look in the Sicha, Rabbi Nachman says, Mesugu Yosu Labanim. What's the best way to raise the kid? Lios Rochuk Mehem. That's a lashon of Gevura. Livli Lios Davik Mehem. To hold back from Dveikis and playing with them B'chol Pam. If we're Madaik, and I could be wrong, it doesn't mean never play with them. It says B'chol Pam. Like every time the kid asks you, then you say, okay, let's play. Right. Yeah. Well, he said, it sounds like he said never. But it sounds like from Nachman, you're not supposed to be available every moment to play with them. The word Dovak also is interesting. I don't know where I could be Madaik or not. Dveikis is not a lashon used by parent and child. It's a lashon between husband and wife. It's a big difference. A husband and wife is supposed to be dovak, a parent and a child not.
They cling.
Right? Cling and attach. Right. That's not the lashon that would be used for a parent and a child. Love, relationship, chinuch. Different. Because again, a child always has to honor and revere. Kibud aveim. And Mora, there's a Yiras Avanim, and there's Kavod. These are the Lashonas of, again, of honor, revere, admiring. There has to be a separation. The parent has to be higher than the child. Mashenki and husband and wife, the ultimate goal is that they actually bond together. No one is higher than the other. They create one neshama. Versus the kid, which is a neshama that comes out of the parents at a lower level. Right? So it could be that he's using that word. Don't become dovuk to them, because that's really not the right thing. That's not the right way a parent should act with a child, to play with them all the time. Rock live lila stakalam klal. Basically, he says, not even looking at them at all. Now, what does that mean? That means that they shouldn't be safe? I can't imagine. It means don't love them? I can't imagine that. Of course, love them. Of course, let them be safe. But don't be paying attention to every single thing they do. Again, these are hard lashonas to explain. He sounds like, don't look at them at all. I don't know what to say with that exact question. Let them be.
Let them have their own identity in life.
We're on top a lot, more than we probably should be. And it's very hard. Now, one of the biggest difficulties, and I think, and I don't know why, and I don't read these chinuch books too much, but I'm pretty sure they leave out, and I actually discussed them on Thursday night. With all this chinuch, we have to have gevura, we have to have ahavim, we have to have a combination. If a parent, a husband, a parent, we're here talking about parents, has not worked on his own midos, if he hasn't worked on his own anger, if he hasn't worked on his own ego, his anava, his patience, if he hasn't worked on himself, there's no way you're going to be able to implement these strategies. Right? You went to all the classes, you have all the education, you wrote it all down, and then the kid's cranky. And you lose it. You're tired, you're hungry, you're impatient, you're angry, bad day at work.
It's normal, though.
You lose it on the kid. So with all the education that you have and how you're supposed to deal with them, you can't implement it because you don't have control of yourself. So really the first act in any chinuch is to mechanech yourself. And I think that's the most left out aspect of chinuch, of chasen and kala. Push your work on your amidas. And that's what the zman is right now, by the sphere. People do not work on their amidas. Like, but for real. There's real, you gotta break, you have to break yourself. If you're working on amidas and it's easy, then you're not doing it. You're not doing it. You might be reading a book about it, but unless it's hurting you, you have to hold yourself back, or you have to force yourself to get up and move when you want to be lazy, then you're not doing it. Because it's midos is about breaking the old and creating new. So I think it's a very important part that, you know, if we understand, and this mahalach that we're talking about in chinuch, I think the Rav Weinberger, this is what he teaches, this mahalach. It's a combination of ahava, it's gevura sheba ahava. that the ahava is the overarching method, loving your kid unconditionally. But within that, there's gevura, there's conditions, there's rules, because you can't let it be hefker. But again, it's unconditional. That even if the kid doesn't behave the way you want or expect, you still have to love them unconditionally and not necessarily change the way you look at them. You might need to alter the behaviors a little bit, but be careful, because your gevura might be pogim your unconditional love. And these are difficult things. It's not simple. Some of us already passed the stage of chinuch. Those who are in it know that it's a fight every day to try to get that balance. But I think the most important part of everything is only if you get the balance within yourself. If you don't have that, you won't be able to have the wherewithal, the mindfulness, the calm to work on a balance between ahav and gevura. You need das. Das is that balance. Because every second it could be different. One day the kid could be cranky and he needs to go to a timeout. Another day you have to give him a hug because he's cranky because of something that happened at school. And even though he's terrorizing his sisters, today's the day that he needs a hug and love because he got beat up at school. Not physically beat up, he just whatever. It was a hard day for him. And sending him to his room would only exasperate, make it worse. You need to be on top of your game at all times. And if you're hungry and you're tired and you haven't worked, good luck. Because when it comes to, when people don't have the das, then one size fits all. Just go to your room, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. You have to save yourself. To listen, to analyze, to be there, takes a lot of conscious effort, a lot of patience, a lot of control over the self. So I'll go upon him. This short little sikha, there's a lot to talk about. We've spoken about a lot. We should be zocha, no? To be able to train ourselves so that we could train our children.
How do you do that?